Brothers and sisters, this week I feel compelled to do something a little different in my homily and preach on the epistle, the second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. St. Paul wrote this epistle to address various abuses going on in the church in Corinth. Among the most severe issues facing the church was that of division. The people began to divide themselves into cliques. Those who were taught by Paul, those who were taught by Peter, those who were taught by Apollos, etc. Division still plagues the church today, and especially in the United States. I think perhaps that one of the reasons that the church in America is so plagued by division is that our society as a whole tends to be divided in practically every aspect of life. Politics, of course, is the first thing that comes to mind, where there's divisions between Republicans and Democrats, liberals and conservatives. But isn't just politics where we're divided? We're divided on so many aspects of our lives. You know, for example, are you a dog lover or a cat lover? Do you use a Mac or do you use Windows? iOS or Android? Economically, are you a bull or a bear? Are you polling for the Seahawks or the Broncos next week? While we do value and need some degree of diversity, the problem with many of the ways in which we're divided in our society is that we divide ourselves into these groups and begin to identify with these groups. In other words, we allow these divisions to define us. They tell us who we are and who we are not. And this creates a real problem. And it's a real scandal for Catholics and indeed for all Christians that we are divided. The reason being is that the church is not a membership organization. It's not a political entity. It's not a nation state. Rather, the church is a living body, the body of Christ. It's not something that we join and leave at will, in the same way that your arm doesn't one day decide to be part of your body and then the next day decide it's no longer part of your body. Furthermore, just as your arm gets its identity from the entirety of your body, so too do we who are members of the church get our identity from the body as a whole, which means that since we're part of the body of Christ, our identity must come from Christ. And yet all too often, Christians have failed in this endeavor, leading to great scandal. Friends, the greatest scandal in the church is not the priest abuse scandal. It's not the financial abuses or the wars or the evil things that have been done in the name of Christ throughout the ages. The single biggest scandal in all of Christianity is the division within the church. Christ himself prayed that we might all be one as he and the Father are one. And yet we find ourselves divided. We have Catholics, Orthodox, Lutherans, Episcopalians, Evangelicals, etc. And this scandal hinders our ability to carry out the mission left to us by Christ, the mission to go and make disciples of all nations. Because when we attempt to evangelize, we're often met with questions to the effect of, well, which Jesus are you here to teach me about? The Catholic Jesus? The Methodist Jesus? The Evangelical Jesus? St. Paul recognized how very problematic this is. And therefore, he says to the church in Corinth, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree in what you say and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. He goes on to berate the young church for grounding their identity, not as members of the body of Christ, but based on the people who taught them the faith. St. Paul asks that biting question, is Christ divided? This climactic question is one that we too must ponder, not only as Christians, but even as Catholics. For the authentic body of Christ is not and cannot be divided. It has legitimate diversity, of course. St. Paul noted that. He said that the eye can't be the hand, the nose can't be the foot. But all of these individual parts of the body don't take their identity in that they are an individual part, but they take their identity from the body as a whole, from being a member of the body of Christ. As members of that one body, all of these parts must support the existence of that one body. And the head of this body, of course, is Jesus Christ. And therefore, every part of the body is subject to him as the head. We are told that we must do what he wills. And what he wills is for us to become one as he and the Father are one. As Catholics, we know that the fullness of truth subsides in the Catholic Church. And this teaching articulated by the Second Vatican Council has often been thought of as a core tenet of Christianity. And yet, many people hear this teaching that the fullness of truth subsists in the Catholic Church, and they cringe. They believe that statements like this create division. But that's a fundamental misunderstanding of the Catholic Church. Far from being divisive, this is actually a unifying teaching. When I say that, what I'm saying is, if we think about the Catholic Church, we know that its authority comes from Christ having given authority to St. Peter. He gave Peter the ability to bind and to loosen. And this power to bind and loosen affects not only earth, but heaven as well. Christ says, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so therefore, Peter's power to bind and loosen has power for eternity, as it affects not only earth, but the eternal kingdom of heaven as well. Furthermore, Jesus left his disciples with a promise. He said, I will be with you until the end of time. And if we believe that Jesus is not a liar, then we have to believe that he is in fact with his apostles, and therefore he's with their successors, the bishops. And because Jesus is the fullest expression of the truth, the Catholic Church can truly claim that in her subsides the fullness of truth. Now, I said this is unifying, and here's why. If the fullness of truth subsides in the Catholic Church, then all people can find a relationship to the Catholic Church. For every time someone acts in accord with the truth, they are uniting themselves with the Catholic Church and uniting themselves to the one living body of Christ. So far from pushing people away from the body of Christ, this teaching actually shows that all people have a connection with Christ whenever they do something that's good, beautiful, or true. And it's a unifying statement because it shows us that it's impossible to live according to the truth and to be separated from the Catholic Church. While all people are connected to the Catholic Church to the extent that they live in accord with the truth, the challenge for us is to ensure that we're growing daily in our understanding of the truth. For the more we conform ourselves to what is true, the more grounded our identity becomes in Jesus Christ. For as Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI pointed out, the truth is not a proposition or even a series of propositions. The truth is a person, Jesus Christ. Furthermore, the good news teaches us that the truth will set us free, that our connectedness to Christ will set us free. Free from what? Free from the power of sin that enslaves us. Free from the lies that deceive us. Free from the false divisions that prevent us from understanding our true identity as Christians, that we are members of the one undivided body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all members of the body of Christ.